Like we said earlier on, tonight is the night where you get to ask questions. And may the divine love give us that clarity and discernment that the answers will empower us to live a life fully in grace, harmony, and divine prosperity with loving kindness. So I will now invite any of you to ask any questions that you may want revelations to be given to.
I asked this once before, but unfortunately it wasn't recorded. So if you can please give us a deeper meaning of Lord's Prayer, and we have a better understanding of it.
The question is, and I hope we're recording this. Well, it says recording, but yeah, so. The question is, what is the deeper meaning of Lord's Prayer? So that we may be able to apply it in our daily lives. And for those who might not even know what Lord's Prayer is, he says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or blessed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in the heavens. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. And then some added there, for thine is thy kingdom, thy power and thy glory forever and ever. Amen. It's okay. God doesn't mind. You can add your own if it makes life easier. So what's the spiritual implication of that? Because if it doesn't have any deeper meaning, Jesus wouldn't have recommended it, that this is how you pray to God. The first thing that comes with that is the expression of your lineage. The first ancestor you have is God. Of all your ancestors, that's the one and only our Father. It shows you just didn't drop from the sky or from the womb of your mom. That there is a lineage that you are connected to. And when you actually think about it, it shows you are connected to everything else that God created. So you are not alone. And what it does is, it tells us you need to treat yourself and others and the little ant and the trees and all of that with dignity and respect. You need to welcome them because they are part of you. You can't walk away from it because it came from that same source, from the mother lode, for those who watch Star Wars or something like that. Our Father, who art in heaven. It also tells you that connection you have is not mundane. It's not of this dimension alone. It's of all other galaxies and dimensions and planets. And it's what holds the universe together. Our Father who art in heaven. Because what is the heaven to those who are on earth? It's the inner glow, the inner knowing of who you are. You know your power, which are your talents, and you know your strength. You know when to use them and all of that. That's why they say heaven, and it's a perfect place. So you might not be perfect because you are not where from your home, It's like anyone else. If you go on vacation, there are some things that you have at home that brings you comfort that you can't take with you. You know, you can't bring your own bed, you know. So when he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," it means it's something to honor, is something to show respect to. It's not something you are flippant about. Because if you can sense that power, if you can taste that power, you will know, yes, this, it is dynamic. It is not stationary. It is something that is awesome. What they call the glorious splendor of the divine. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What is God's kingdom? It means the kingdom is not kingdom of electing your politicians. It's not kingdom of all about money, and it's not kingdom of illness, sickness, or disease, or judgment, or being critical. Otherwise, why would you want that kingdom to come? If it already has all the things we have here. Thy kingdom, what it tells you is that there is a knowing of your soul, where you come from and where you need to end up. Your full participation and harmonious, a perfect harmony with God, with that divine presence. That's what God's kingdom is about. When God's kingdom comes, it's about you are perfect in everything. You don't need to go to Whole Foods to get food that is whole. You don't need to go to Safeway to get food that you think is safe. You don't need to worry about climate change. And nobody judges you because of your skin color or gender and all of that. No. You don't even get hungry because if you want any kind of food, you just, the moment you think it, you got it. And you don't have to worry about your weight. No illness, no sickness. No. That's why I say, thy kingdom come. Because you live in that spirituality of who you are. Not just your physical body. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in the heavens. What is God's will for us? That's the first thing you need to question. What is God's will for me? Because people will say, well, you know, I asked God for this, I never got an answer. Maybe it's in the way you ask. Maybe you are asking for something that God hasn't wanted for you, because God knows the totality of what we have. That will be done. Because it shows that you acknowledge you are more than just this physical individual soul. Because if God's will prevails in your life, that means you are compliant, you know? In other words, you have a listening heart and an obedient mind. Then there is no reason for you to make all the boo-boo we've made. Because the clarity, the discernment, will guide you to make the right decision at the right time, with the right place. That's God's will. Then you don't want to be like somebody else's. If God wants you to just be a divine kitten where, you know, you are happy wherever you are, that's it. That's God's will. Because God wants everybody to prosper in that divine prosperity. The divine prosperity means, we're not talking water, it means everything in perfection, in harmonious way with what God wanted for each person. Then you don't have to worry about dying prematurely or all this stuff that makes us crazy. That's God's will. That's why we say, if you know how much God loves you, you will die out of gratitude, out of celebration. Because God wants good things for, but you have to do God's will. So when people decide to discriminate, whether because of race, gender, or orientation, whatever it is. That's not God's will. Because what is God's will? When a child is born, right? When a soul comes in, they say a child is born. That's how it is. That's how spirit sees it. Everybody sees God. Then they're not talking about gender, but then human things like, oh, what gender is that child? In spirit, a soul is regarded as a soul, genderless. They don't say, oh, this is a Muslim child, a Jewish child, a Christian child. No. Because once you begin to put marks on all of that, you are deviating from God's will. That's why when you really connect to a true saint, you will never see them put anyone down because they are not on the same path. Or, oh, this. They understand the way of God. And they know, okay, this person might need to steal a little bread because they are hungry. They will not judge them that and make them for life permanently. They are a thief, you know. And then everything they do else, they see it through that. No. They understand what it is. So God's will is for us to get that understanding, not just knowledge. You got to have that wisdom of understanding. And that way, then you see things as they evolve and you embrace it. You don't go in your corner and suck, oh, life sucks. No, you don't do that anymore. That will be done on earth as it is done in the, because that's how it is done in the heavens. From my own experience, I don't see somebody look at us and say, oh, this one is ugly. Nobody talks like that. Oh, this one is a Muslim. Okay, he's a terrorist. Oh, this one, yeah, forget it. He's Jewish or he's Native American. Nobody does that. Give us this day our daily bread. It shows that, look, you might think it's only by your efforts that you're able to make something out of your life. Then you really don't know the way God is. You are self-deceiving. Give us this day our daily bread. It shows that you are open to all the possibilities. You acknowledge the source of life that makes all things possible. And because of that, then you will not live, you know, in the vibration of lack. Because, I mean, look at it. God created the sun, right? You don't see the sun telling you, okay, I need to use my energy for myself. It easily gives that energy so that others can. Same is the rain, moon, you name it. You don't see the tree, apple tree, trying to eat his own apple. So in that same thing, you realize that your source of abundance comes from God, not you. Yeah, as part of the co-creator, yeah, you put the energy in. Because you can put the energy, if God doesn't say yes to it, we've known people work really hard. You know, just because they are poor doesn't mean, look, they're not hard workers. And you easily, oh, you have the Midas touch, or you get wealthy, or oh, you are famous, you think it's by your own. No. Give us this day our daily bread. So it tells you that whatever your needs are, on a daily basis, God has got your back. All you have to do is open yourself to abundance of life. You see the birds do it. I mean, if you see the deer, right? Did he plant the flowers and all those things they are eating? No, God gave it to them. The birds come into the water fountain and drinks water. Yeah. If they can open themselves to the abundance of life that God provides, why shouldn't you? So if you are not doing that, you need to self-correct yourself. Because by not doing that, you are self-harming yourself. And we do that. Self-harm is against God's law. But we do it anyway, and then we ask God to bail us out. That will be done on earth as it is done in the heaven. Because in the heavens, the astral world, the causal world, nobody's go farming. They don't go to Albertsons or any of these grocery stores. No. Whatever they want, they count. If they want sunshine, it shows up. And if they don't want to go to sleep, they don't have to worry that their body might do something to them. No. That will be done on earth as it is done in the heavens. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. If God has already forgiven you for all the mistakes and boo-boo you've done, then what's your issue? Not forgiving yourself, judging yourself, oh, I've done this. Let the memory of your mistakes of the past stay in the past. If you cannot learn from it, then you are not doing God's will. God doesn't want you to tie yourself to that. Because if the one who created you already forgiven you, why are you beating yourself up? You need to forgive yourself. And if you cannot forgive yourself, no matter how great you think you are, you can't give what you don't have. So you cannot forgive others. And that becomes an albatross stone on your neck. If you want God to forgive you, you must be willing to forgive others no matter what. Can you imagine if in the heavens, let's use that word, if people are keeping malice, the grudges, and they want to retaliate, wow, the whole place would be messed up. They will be calling the angels left and right, go beat this one up because he did this. Chop off this person's head. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespassed against us. It shows God is not holding you to ransom about the mistakes you've made. Don't take my word for it. If you do something and you wholeheartedly forgive yourself, you can count on it. Karma won't take care of you. Because anytime you bring God into anything, karma has no influence. And you will find that it's because we keep carrying this excess luggage through the TSA checkout. That's why we keep coming back, and it creates havoc in our lives. People who wholeheartedly ask God for forgiveness and they forgive others, they don't have to worry about that. Otherwise, there will be no reason for Jesus and all some of the saints to come back and tell us and say, And you find that it's because we don't have the heart of forgiveness. We can't see beyond our nose. That's when we start discriminating against each other. We saw in the scriptures, the Samaritans said, well, they won't let me go to Jerusalem to worship. I can't even go to the mountain. Because if we had followed God's will, there's nothing like Jewish, Samaritan, African, American, European. None of that. Even in the old days, in the Middle Ages, you find that there's nothing like race. When they started with your ethnicity, not the skin, your skin color, not your gender. That's why you see in the Egyptian, they say, oh, the Kushites, because they come from that, Otherwise, Moses' father-in-law, because they don't do that, But of course, then from ethnicity, which even shouldn't be, they graduated to, okay, race and, okay, you are from this, you are poor, you are this. And then the part of it, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Who leads us into temptation? We do that. If you can see it, you can lead yourself into temptation. If you can smell it, you can lead yourself into temptation. If you can taste it, you can lead yourself into temptation. And if you can hear it, you can lead yourself into temptation. Not to talk of others, You see something that somebody you like on somebody, then you want it. You don't even know if it's good for you. So, and what does he say? By that expression, lead us not. He tells you the world we live in is not perfect. God created the energy, harmonious energy, but we have not learned how to live in perfect harmony with that energy. That's where the temptation is. Because anytime you live in perfect harmony with your surroundings, you will find that there's nothing to tempt you. You will know exactly when that orange tree wants you to come and get the orange and enjoy it. And we've seen people say, oh, I love that house. I would like to have that house. You don't know whether God wants you to live like that. We've seen people who, they live beyond their means because they want to show off. Whether it's self-harm, and then they try to find a way to, you know. Those are temptations. The temptation to denigrate somebody else, to think you are better than they are. I mean, isn't that the politics where they are going through now? How can you come from the same country? You drink the same water, the same sun shines on you, and you say, oh, I can stand that one. He's a Margalite. Oh, that one is the, what do they, the radical left, crazy left, or the libertarian, whatever description we give to each other. And then people from the same womb, the same father, mother, can't even stand themselves because of the temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Best friends are at each other's throat because they are tempted. They can't see beyond. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The greatest evil is self-harm. Because if you do not think it, it cannot bite you. Outside influence cannot change who you are unless you let it in. And we are good at it. I can't speak for others. Just look at people who say they are Christians. Oh, they will tell you the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Like they were there when that information came. They put their own spin. And because of that, they will go to any length. God bless Pope Francis. Then when he says, look, the number one thing is love God with your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. They say, well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible didn't say, look, you start with yourself, your family, and all of that. But people, they put a spin on it that, well, this is how I say, take care of yourself, your family, and then your neighbor, and then if you still have anything left, somebody else. Then that's why all the immigrants need to go. We forget we're all immigrants in this world. Nobody owns this earth. Everybody, eventually, it doesn't matter, you will go. Those of the past, where are they now? The Rockefellers, the, you know, the robber barons, whatever, they are gone. You think they can come back now and claim? No. The Gen Z won't even know who they are. So why are we doing that to ourselves? But deliver us from evil. It is the evil we created. So sometimes it's good for us not to see. What's the expression? See no evil, speak no evil. Yeah. So it is the foundation and the most powerful prayer you can have. And that's why Jesus gave it. And it's so simple. It doesn't even fill a page. It doesn't, a paragraph. Our Father who art in heaven. So if you begin to think along that, you will see your behavior will change. Towards yourself, towards everything else. And then you begin to honor and glorify your first ancestor, who is God. Because sometimes we think our ancestors are those of our blood lineage and, you know, genetic lineage. No. They are just the source you came here. Your other ancestors are your spiritual ancestors, and they are more than your genetic lineage. And when you trace that, you trace it to God, who is the foundation of everything. So it shows you are connected. So whenever you think you are separated from God, think about that, what Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't say you were rejected by your parents. He didn't say you are an orphan. Definitely, so you have somebody. So, and if you do, then you can trace yourself back. And if you are hungry, then go to your father and get some food. And don't forget, that father is also the mother, because the food that you're going to get, she's the one who cooked it. So that's the spiritual meaning of our Lord's Prayer. And it's powerful, it's easy, and it allows us to go into that introspection. And in that place, then you live in that power, in that dignity, in that gift that God has given. I didn't mean to talk that long. So, okay, next question. Hopefully we recorded it this time. Any question online, in Portland, in Connecticut, wherever you are, in California, where I heard the
Hey,
California.
Baba,
Yes.
is it possible for people to be living while they're on Earth on different timelines and dimensions and realities? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like that one person could be living in a timeline where they don't even see or perceive, problems. I mean, it kind of ties into what you were saying before, but is it possible that people on Earth can be living in different timelines and dimensions?
It is possible, but it's not for everyone. Because those who live in a different timeline, let's put it that way, are those who are fully immersed in the Spirit of God. Because one of the ways you will know this is that if you are in meditation and your mind is on the other side, I mean, you are totally on that side. Or when you go to sleep and you have these lucid dreams, even though you are physically here, yeah, and whatever you are experiencing is different from somebody else who are having another dream. So, but where you are consciously having a different timeline, these are people who are fully immersed. We can say like Jesus, like Moses, like Babaji, or like when they are meditating. I mean, they will talk to and when they are deeply in meditation, you can't even wake them up. Because whatever they are seeing there is different from what you are experiencing in the physical. So it takes a deeper connection, and it's a conscious thing. Then you can live in a different timeline. But if you are physically here, spirit doesn't want you to just keep living on that side, because then what's the point of you being here? So you have to sort of flow in between that, because if you read the stories of creation, depending on who's saying it from different cultures, you will find out that there is a passage where they will say, the soul just comes and goes as they wish. That's how they interacted. They weren't living, they come here, they play, they go back, that's how they say, then these gods and goddesses started and all of that. Yes. They flow in, they flow out. But at a point, we separated. So, that's what we can say about the timeline. Does that answer your question?
For now, thank you.
How do you meditate or focus when you're tired?
How do you what?
Meditate or focus when you're tired.
The question is, how do you meditate and focus when you are tired? Well, actually, what we tell people is, if you are tired, it's better for you to go to sleep or do whatever to then come afresh to meditate. Because if you are tired and all of that, your meditation will be on the surface. Because now you are struggling between what the body needs and what your mind wants. And so that's why we say, if, you know, it's like saying you're reading a book and you keep falling, you know, closing your eyes, then walk away from it. Close the books, go and do whatever you need to do, and then come back afresh. That would be the easiest. Other individuals can do it, where they summon and they tell the body, okay, just, you know. Or sometimes as you call on that spirit of God, what they call second wind. Yeah. Sometimes that comes where, especially when spirit wants you to focus on something and they want to show you something, the second wind will come out of nowhere. And then you'll be able to focus. I mean, it's literally, you can go anywhere. You'll be able to focus on all of that. But the simple thing is, go relax, do whatever, and then come back afresh. Any other questions? Online, in person?
In the past, like civilizations and things like that, there are like gods or goddesses. Is it possible that it was people from another planet they came to visit and they saw them as a god?
You know, when you look at the origin of things from spiritually, now I've not been able to verify this, where they would say in the old days, they just came down from heaven and like they are in full body, you know, they came, they do, and then they went back. You know. It's possible that happened, but I've never been able to verify that, you know. But what I've been able to verify that I know for sure is that you or I can become a god or goddess. Because when you are so into God, you are so immersed in that, and that divine power evolves and devolves around you, you become a god or goddess. That's why in the scripture it says, you are little gods. There's nothing that stops any of us from becoming a god or goddess. I mean, even when you look at it, you can say the saints are all gods and goddesses, because now you're calling on them to help you. I mean, it's not like Jesus wants anybody to worship him, but now, you know, so. Yeah, when I was growing up, they tell you, yeah, you want to become a god or goddess, because what do gods and goddesses do? They serve others. And they have a protocol, like, okay, if you want my help to do this, okay, this is how it works. Yeah. So, but I've not been able to verify where they just relocate from there and came here, and after they've established this, then they went back. You know. Even the angels, you know, they send them. They don't stay that long, you know. They send them on a mission. It could be a few hours. It could be half a year, and then they go back. You know? But to populate the world and all of that, I think most people, you have to come, like the rest of us. They give birth to you. So even if you don't have karma. All right, let's bring this to a close. We thank God for allowing us to be fully present and to receive that divine guidance. May that spirit that is all knowing continue to abide with us now forevermore.